An Easter Sunday sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 19, 1992, entitled, The Dawn of a New World. The scripture readings are Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11, Colossians 1, verses 11 through 20, and Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. The texts for the sermon are Psalm 16, verse 11, Matthew 28, verse 7, and Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I hope that Easter 1992 will be marked in your minds indelibly with this distinction, the distinction between optimism and hope. Hope is a Christian virtue. It is a great biblical word. Hope rooted in God who raises the dead. Easter is the fountain of our Christian hope. For we serve the living God who is able to overcome death's worst darkness and bring about life and light. Optimism is a human attitude or posture. It is a philosophy that believes that this is the best of all possible worlds and eventually things will come out right. Hope, rooted in God, is the great gift we possess as people of the resurrection. Optimism is facile, superficial, and naive. I suppose I would rather bunk with an optimist than a pessimist. But the optimist is unrealistic, has never looked the world squarely in the eye, has never faced up to the reality of darkness in which this world lies, and in which we carry out our lives and spend our days. Human history gives us no basis for optimism as a kind of sunny side of the street philosophy. Optimism is characterized by the person who whistles in order to believe and convince himself that the darkness isn't really there. Optimism is based on that characteristic posture of the person of Western culture, and especially of us who are Americans. Optimism is based on the conviction of the ever inevitable progress of all things, as though somehow or other, every day, in every way, it will be better and better. Or every day, in every way, it'll be better and bigger. That's so American. It is as American as apple pie. To believe in progress, to believe that history is on some kind of an inclined plane that will reach its apex, and that maybe just around the corner is the solution to all of the dilemmas of human history, and that with a wave of a wand at some moment, some breaking dawn, the tragedy and the suffering of human history, all of its irrationality and ambiguity, will be wiped away. That is ridiculous. To believe thus is to be naive and to set oneself up for disaster. Some of the most serious observers of the human scene are coming to see that in our day. The 20th century has been tough on optimists. Paul Kirch is the head of the Secular Humanist Society, and in his work, Free Inquiry, he admits that the pillars on which his optimistic faith in humankind and the eventual dawning of a world of human rationality and humane decency, he admits that the pillars on which he was resting his optimism have begun to crumble. And yet, he refuses to believe that we are in for another dark age. And as someone commented, that's optimism. But Christopher Lash, who has done a serious in-depth analysis of American traditions and the roots out of which our American society in its present day have come, Christopher Lash has just wrote another book, The True and Only Heaven. And the introduction is an autobiographical statement which he entitles The Making of a Malcontent. And he traces his own movement from this kind of optimistic belief in progress to the present experience where he finds himself convinced that the next century may be about the same as the present, or a little bit better, or a little bit worse. But that, as a matter of fact, the human project, the human enterprise, the movement of history is really going nowhere. That within history itself, there are not the resources by which to solve the serious dilemmas which we and our forebears have lived down through the centuries. A chastened, sobered, liberal Christopher Lash points us to the hollowness of optimism. For example, don't we all know it's true? In our own experience in this United States of America in 1992, where we are engaged in, again, a presidential campaign, even though in Britain they just managed a major victory. Nonetheless, what's going to happen here? Why, someone told me the other day that after Bill Clinton won in New York, and it seemed as though he had it all locked up with only a Jerry Brown nipping at his heels, God got concerned. And God called Moses over and said to Moses, Moses, this could be a disaster. I think you better go talk to George Bush. His ratings are falling. They're in free fall. People are terribly dissatisfied with him. But look at the alternative. Will you go talk to Bush? And Moses said, with all due respect, Your Holiness, Lord of the universe, send someone else. You remember the last time I talked to a Bush? Remember, you are in church. Will the new administration solve the problems? Don't we know with the widespread current disillusionment with national leaders that it is not in some political philosophy or some economic quick fix? Sir Thomas More in the 16th century wrote the book Utopia, in which he described the perfect political and economic system, and he called it Utopia, which means, literally, from the Greek language, no place. Utopia is no place. He imagined it as an imaginary island, but it is literally no place. There is no place in history for utopia. Human history comes to a dead end. And in Lent 1992, I have been relentless in setting forth the darkness. We have tried to discern the way of Jesus and hear the call to follow Jesus, and have been as honest as I could be to where that following will lead. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as the whole betrayal and crucifixion began to go into play, John in his gospel says, it was night. Night in the world. night in human history. Jesus said, "My God, why?" And God was silent. God let it happen. God was with Jesus crucified, edged out of the world. The human enterprise prevailed. The human enterprise had its day. Humankind won. Society, the guardians of the law, the guardians of tradition, it all held tight. Jesus was proved wrong. Jesus cursed on a tree. Obviously, God was not as Jesus proclaimed God to be. God crucified, edged out of the world, the end of history's possibility. Human history's final no to God's final appeal. The end. Darkness. But on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And consequently, because of history, the alternative to optimism is not pessimism, but hope in God. The God who raised Jesus. The God who brings life out of death. Hope. We are shut up to hope in God, despairing of the human possibility, but clinging to the God who is the living God, who breathed life into Jesus and in so doing did not simply raise one dead man to life, but initiated a whole counter movement, a counter insurgency movement. Jesus was the dawning of a whole new world and continues to call those who will to follow him guerrillas of grace. In a world that is dying, that reels on its way from one disaster to another. But we are a people of hope in the midst of all of that, confident that the kingdom is present. Wherever there is a beautiful child, wherever a lily stands in all its glory, candlelight, people of God, music, celebration of life in the midst of a world that is dying. Wherever sickness is rolled back and health prevails, wherever freedom is extended and peace pursued, wherever the hungry are fed and the poor are clothed and the homeless given shelter, wherever there is so much as a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, the kingdom is there. The kingdom is present. And I believe in the God whose kingdom has come in Jesus and is coming. I believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe that the kingdoms of this world will one day become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. When will it be, you say? I do not know. How will it come, you say? I have not the slightest idea. What will be its shape, you ask? I couldn't tell you. But this I believe. I believe in the God who raised Jesus. I believe in that triumphant hallelujah that emanates from the book of Revelation. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. I believe in God. My hope is in the living God. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell, but on the third day rose again, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe. God, I believe.